Chuck Archer is executive chairman at Covada and former assistant director at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, writing in NextGov about an opportunity to retool encryption. Chuck, thank you very much for your time today. Where do you think we are right now on encryption based on what you've heard from the hearings about the Office of Personnel Management cyber breaches and what you're seeing in the people that you talk to all across government? Thanks for your time today.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, first of all, there are plenty of government-certified FIPS 140-2 encryption certificates out there that are available. They're obviously not being used to the extent that they should be. Maybe it's because of ease of use by the user. You have to make, when you use encryption, you have to make this all a little bit more ease of access, low friction for the user to use the encryption products.
The encryption state right now, we heard Catherine Archuleta and Donna Seymour explain that it's not feasible to implement encryption on networks that are too old. What was your thought as you heard those comments and reflected more on what she was talking about there?
Yes, well, she's obviously accurate. If you go back, COBOL, most of OPM's data is stored on mainframe computers. And as a matter of fact, IBM recently said that there are some 200 billion lines of COBOL code out there in use today by the government, banks, and other institutions. The COBOL legacy programs are difficult at this point to maintain and to migrate over to the systems application products that will provide better encryption capability.
For a long time, the mentality among a lot of folks in government was, well, given scarce resources and given that these systems are working fine, we should focus our attempts to upgrade legacy systems other places where the systems are breaking down. Is that day over, do you think, now, based on what we've seen? Is it time for pretty much everything that's a legacy system to be on the table, Chuck?
Yeah, I certainly believe it is. We're no longer just using end-to-end solutions with our data, in other words, to the employee's desktop. We're now more out into a virtual environment. We're into a system now where not only do we use this data inside our networks, but beyond the domain, with the mobile devices, into the cloud, and we need granular access controls for all of that data.
You write in this piece in NextGov, Chuck, the very relevance of encryption methodologies for still ubiquitous legacy systems has come into question, and that's a good, not a bad thing. The conversation hopefully will inspire federal leaders to rethink the way we've done encryption for so many years. What does the path to that rethinking look like in your view? What are the key components of it, Chuck?
First of all, we need to migrate to data-centric solutions, and data-centric solutions will put the encryption on the data so that data is encrypted, whether it is in motion or at rest or wherever it might lie, in the cloud or anywhere. Then, with encryption, you need a key. Too many times now, the administrator of the system keeps the key. The best systems use both an access server and a content server, so the key is not stored with the data. So if there is an intrusion on the part of a key, you can't get to the key to open the data. You have just a bit of scramble on your screen that you can revocate at any time.
You write in this piece, the Homeland Security Department's indicated encryption wouldn't have prevented the OPM intrusion because the adversary had user credentials, which allowed for data access even if it's masked. You relay the facts of that exactly accurately. What do we learn from that, and how does that? What are the implications of that for how we should do this rethinking of encryption, Chuck?
Well, I clearly, in my opinion, it gets back to my earlier statement about the key. We must keep the keys to unlocking the encrypted data somewhere else other than the content server, which all of the administrators have access to. So you're still vulnerable to insider threat through compromise or for whatever reason if you're able to get to the keys to unlock the data.
Are we paying enough attention to the inadvertent insider threat and maybe more than we should to the malicious insider threat? I understand the sensitivity after an incident like a Snowden incident or a Manning incident, but I wonder if there is enough attention being paid to somebody just making a stupid mistake.
You know, the president wrote a white paper a couple of years ago now on establishing that every government agency needed to have a unit which would address malicious insider threats. But as part of what they do is I talk to the various government agencies. They're also looking at the inaccuracies that happen by accident, we'll say. And so it's not always malicious, but it certainly is being looked at by these government units in every agency.
You write in this piece about the risk management profile that agencies undertake to decide what gets encrypted, to what level of sophistication it gets encrypted. Is there room for rethinking that as well, do you think, Chuck?
Absolutely. Encryption is not in today's IT environment, encryption is not a difficult thing to do. There's no reason why virtually all of your data, as it's stored or moved, can't be encrypted so that the recipient can simply unlock it and look at it, and the key is kept somewhere else.
What is your sense of what the holdup has been then? Is it just a reticence to do that? Is it a resource issue? Or what's the kind of feedback, what's the sense that you're getting is the delay?
Money for the budgets. To implement some of these programs is expensive. There was one government program within OPM that they did. It took 2 years to do. It was a fairly small program, and it cost $30 million. And that was a small program. But if you look at the other side and you think, if some of these rumors are accurate, but it's all in the Senate closed hearings, but if it's accurate that some 18 million records have been stolen, that's 6% of the U.S. population that has their information out there.
You write, we must come up with an easy-to-use, low-friction software so users embrace encryption instead of trying to go around it. How much of that is an education process as much as a policy or procedure or an information technology process?
Well, the most important thing is the governance. In other words, security officers have to have the support of the heads of the agencies or the heads of the company to implement these processes. The training involved is literally, in the case of where I work, we can show people how to do this in an hour. It's not brain surgery. It's simply a matter of how you use your computer.